Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a Survivor double exit interview to kick off season 41 of Survivor. And I'm so excited after last night's two-hour premiere. Got the know-it-alls back going with Stephen Fishback. Got so many nice messages from the listeners who are so excited to have the know-it-alls back and to hear from Stephen. And I feel really excited here at the start of Survivor 41. Glad to have you back here with us, where every Thursday I will talk with the most recently eliminated contestant from the show and get to spend 10-15 minutes with them each week. Just one of the many podcasts that we are doing for you here about Survivor during the Survivor season on Rob Has a Podcast. It's a big help to the show if at the start of the season you make sure you're subscribed in your favorite podcatcher. It also helps us if you leave a rating and review and helps people find the show when they are looking for some Survivor podcasting. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe, that brings up a link tree, which shows you all the different ways to subscribe. You could subscribe to the Rob as a Podcast main feed, the Survivor podcast for all things Survivor, including all of the other shows not hosted by me, and also our reality TV wrap-ups feed, which has everything from the other hosts, not just about Survivor. So lots of different ways for you to subscribe. You pick what you want. robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. And we really appreciate your ratings and reviews. Two exit interviews coming up here on today's show. We're going to be talking with Eric Abraham, voted out first. And then we're going to talk with Sarah Wilson, voted out in the second tribal council. So we have those coming up for you here right now. Also on Thursday, I'm going to be speaking with Karishma Patel from the Island of the Idols. That's going to be our interview. We do that every Thursday on Rob as a Podcast, a long-form interview with a former player. If you have questions for the Karishma podcast, send them in. We have a feedback form for all of your Survivor questions all season long. robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions. We're also going to be having a feedback show this weekend with our own Chappelle, and that is going to be featuring your questions, robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions, and your voicemail questions. Go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail to leave us your feedback questions there for the feedback show. And on Monday night, Amon Adwin will join me for the season 41 patron Q&A. We're going to do that Monday night at 7 p.m. If you're interested in participating and calling into that show, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron to get involved with the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon. So we got lots of good stuff coming your way, including our exit interview. I see that Abraham is on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Abraham, are you there?
Morning, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Abraham. How are you doing?
Wonderful day. Wonderful day.
Well, that's nice to hear. Very sad to see you go from the show last night, even though it was a very exciting episode. How are you feeling after this whole experience?
No, Rob. That was my precursor. That they just showed me. So when next time they put me on Survivor, they was like, oh, Abraham, we remember him on season 41. We're glad they brought him back. That's what I look at it as.
Yeah. Okay, good. Can't wait to see it. So in the opening of the episode, your tribe seemed to really struggle with getting off of the boat in the marooning. Could you talk us through what was going on there?
Rob, it was adrenaline. It was adrenaline. It was the show. I'm sticking to my story, and it just became utter confusion. And we just did not notice that the other two teams had tribes had went behind us. We just lost track of where the last four because we were so focused in front and never looked back. And then was like, what are we missing? And then you just walking around aimlessly trying to figure out what did you miss? And it was behind us the whole time. Jeff was reminding us that we was looking bad too.
Yeah, he can do that sometimes. So could you let us know, what was it that you saw about Tiffany during that sequence that made you feel like that she was the person to target?
Tiffany had already jumped in the water, was in the boat recovering, and the rest of us were still on the boat trying to figure out where the oar was at.
Mm-hmm.
And we had yellow oars floating in the water next to the boat, and Tiffany was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to sit here in the boat. So in my eyes, I look at that, yeah, you were a part of our team, but you didn't really participate in helping us get this done.
Did you get blindsided at the vote, or did you feel like that you might have seen it coming?
I was totally blindsided. And I'll tell you why, Ross. Here's the thing. I'm a twofold type of guy. They could have either used me to be the workhorse in the tribe on challenges, or one of the other players could have hid behind me. It was like, you know what? We're going to push Abraham out there, and we got to vote somebody out down the road as we go through these different challenges. We can push him out there. So I never would think that, okay, well, let's keep a weaker player, or let's keep a player that if I look at the challenges and that's my barometer to say who goes out, that we're going to vote her or she or him out. So no, I didn't see the blind side coming.
Was there one person in this group that really did a number on you, that really had you sold that they were with you, and it turned out that they weren't?
I was shocked that Xander wasn't with me. That was a shocker. If I had to rack and stack who I thought was going to be with me, I'd have said Xander, Liana. And I was kind of shocked that they went the other direction. But we're playing a game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out what their strategy is. I'm trying to use my strategy. And you're really just saying, okay, I hope this works for this moment. Not today, just for this moment. Because when you look up, there's another twist to the game this season. I'm like, man, when did we start voting out two people this early in Survivor?
It's a monster. It's going to move fast.
Oh, it's moving fast. It moved fast for me. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're voting out two people. We're sleeping in the dark. We don't have any rights. But I had a great time.
Abraham, could you talk a little bit about the boat that came to pick up Xander? Were you good with Xander being the person to go and go on that adventure for your tribe?
You know what? We looked at Xander as probably the only one that couldn't lie and wouldn't lie. You know, he's 20 years old, fresh face. He's like, the rest of y'all, y'all might be a little shaky. But Xander, we kind of all came to the conclusion that he's probably going to go and do the right thing. And then in the game of Survivor, you're just hoping. You're just hoping that the right person does it.
Based on what we saw in the episode, it seemed like that he came back and told everybody that he did risk his vote, and everybody seemed like that they were pretty cool with that decision. Was there actually more discussion about, like, hold on, did this guy just get an extra vote?
No, really, because we were too early in the gameplay that we really wouldn't worry about his extra vote. And at that particular juncture, we was like, okay, if somebody had to have an extra vote, we know Xander wasn't really going to go anywhere. For the same reason, I was like, hey, we're the most physical guys on the tribe. We're really not going anywhere this early on. So it didn't make a difference.
The other challenge that you guys had back at camp was the sweat versus savvy. Did you have a strong feeling one way or the other about which way the tribe should go?
In that sweat challenge, I knew I wasn't going to do it. It was one of those, for me, was a strategy to let them guys go out there and walk that beach and put that water in cans for 4 hours. And I'm just going to go up here and build a shelter so I can save my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be a little more better prepared for challenges, because that challenge was exactly what it said it was going to be. It was grueling for those guys to be out there. And I'm glad I didn't do it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the mood at the Yace camp over the first couple of days? Because we only get to see so much. I would just love to get a little bit more of your perspective of what it was like in the tribe.
You know what? You're meeting a group of people that you've never met before. You're trying to bond on small things, you know, family, children. And we had a good vibe going. You know, like I said, my whole thing was, until you got to start voting, it don't turn crazy. When you start voting and you have to vote people out, that's when stuff just kind of gets out of hand, and you start really playing the game. Also, you start really playing the game. And up until that, it was a tribe of individuals trying to become one group and get to learn each other and see what can I trust about this person that I think they're going to be aligned to me when it comes to voting or when we got to vote someone out.
What did it mean to you to get to go and play Survivor during this particular period in time?
You know what? I applied for Survivor in 2000 when it originally came on, and I applied a second time, and I was like, you know what? If I ever get the opportunity to live out a dream that's controlled by somebody else, this will be the dream. And I didn't control this at all. I put an application in and went through a process and had to be selected. And I got an opportunity to play with a diverse cast this season and be a part of something that's new to Survivor. Not just the gameplay, not just the shortened season, but the representation that Survivor has shown in their actual depiction of the players this season here. I mean, everybody is in this season, and we did a great job of just embracing this opportunity and being really appreciative of it. You know, everybody's going to get voted out of Survivor, but the experience that we all share together, we will always have this for each other.
Abraham, we have so many people that listen to these shows and they hope that one day they're going to get to go beyond Survivor. And I would just love to have them hear from your perspective. What do you feel like you did wrong and that they might not be thinking about when they go out and play?
Don't overthink anything. Just go with the flow. Don't overthink it. Don't be analytical to the point that you're sitting in there running numbers. Just go and experience the whole thing and go with the flow. You can't look at anybody's gameplay and say, you know what, I'm going to replicate that if I get on the season. Because here's what's going to be the X factor. Your castmates, they're going to be the X factor. They may act entirely different than any other person that plays Survivor, which would throw any type of pre-plan out the window. Just come out there and have an enjoyable experience and go with the flow.
Abraham, so nice to talk to you. Anything else you want to let us know about your experience?
You know what? Survivor, which I'm going to be back on here in a couple of seasons, mm-hmm. It is a wild ride and a great experience and a great adventure. And if you get a chance to take that adventure, take it. It was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your podcast. We went over our actual cast for the season. I enjoyed the players and everything else. Just come out if you get an opportunity to enjoy meeting and enjoying this whole experience.
Abraham, thank you so much for that. I appreciate the kind words and I appreciate your enthusiasm. And I can't wait to talk to you again next time.
Oh, we're going to have, hey, look, I'll be calling you. Hey, how's it going? When is our interview?
You got it. All right. Abraham, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. You have a great day.
All right. You too. Take care. Well, how about that, everybody? An honest-to-goodness exit interview from Survivor. Abraham. Oh, I love his energy. He's so positive. I really love that. That just when he talks to you, it definitely gets you sitting up a little bit more straight in your chair. And it seems like a really great guy. I said this on the know-it-alls last night. I feel like if he was on an 8-person tribe, a 10-person tribe, he doesn't end up going out in that spot. But unfortunately, you know, when the tribes are small like this, it's really like a do or die from the jump. And I think that Abraham just ended up on the wrong side of the numbers there. All right. We have another exit interview to get to here in this podcast. Sarah Wilson coming up. But first, let me thank a sponsor, and those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. You know, there are a lot of things in life that I like to pick out myself so I know that I get the best one. Produce, very important. Like to go to the store. Like to pick out exactly which apples, which bananas. They're going to have a good banana etiquette. Don't want to take any without asking anybody else if they want some as well. What would you do if you could do the same thing for hiring, choosing between ideal candidates before they even apply? That's where ZipRecruiter's invite to apply comes in. It gives you the hiring manager, the power to pick your favorites from top candidates. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. How does Invite to Apply work? Well, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, they send you the most qualified people for your job. Then you can easily review the candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, she's the Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition at Mindola Health. She raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate. If I invite candidates, it's easy for me, so it's easy for them. In fact, according to ZipRecruiter's internal data, jobs where employers use ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply get, on average, 2.5 times more candidates, which helps make for a faster hiring process. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's S-U-R-V-I-V-E to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We have our second exit interview here on the line. It is Sarah Wilson. Hey, this is Rob from about 20 minutes in the future. Shout out to Allie Lasher for bringing this editing device into prominence on the New Girl, Old Guy podcast. I just want to let you know that there is going to be a lot of salty language coming your way from Sarah. And if you are listening in the car with young children, or if you are any place else where that may not be appropriate, maybe is a time to put your earbuds in or bow out of the podcast for now. But coming up, our interview with Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great.
Good to hear. Okay. Sarah, would love to hear a little bit more about your night at Tribal Council. Could you tell me a little bit about what the plan was from your perspective going in?
Yeah, definitely. So there was a lot of shit that went down at camp. And basically before going into the Tribal, I pretty much knew it was me. I knew they were locked in. I literally was walking down the trail and saw the five of them talking. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked. Like, so it was a little bit like, I mean, I said this to other people. It's like, I was thinking about, like, I was like, I'm going to play my shot in the dark. And if I don't get immunity, I'm going to be eating, like, a beautiful fried chicken sandwich. And I'm going to sleep in a nice bed. Like, that was how certain I was that I was going home. But then we get to Tribal. And I could see in Shan's face that she, like, wanted to vote for Brad. Because basically before we left for Tribal, like, voting for Brad was like my Hail Mary, because I knew Shan like didn't want to get rid of JD and that night. And like the only person I kind of had ammunition on was Brad, because he put our names out to both me and Shan. Mm-hmm. So like, if it's going to be anyone but me, it has to be the person who's like said name to people. And I could see it in Shan's face at Tribal that she wanted it to be him. But then things got freaking hectic. Everyone was standing up. Everyone was paranoid. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely put up a fight, and like, I don't regret not playing my shot in the dark, because the last thing I would have wanted to do would like play it and then be like one vote short and send myself home. Because I mean, when there's only 6 people, your vote is very valuable, especially on a night like that where it did feel like it was kind of up in the air.
Do you feel like, was that really a live Tribal Council where then there was talk of switching it to Brad? Or do you feel like that people were just sort of moving around to try to make you a little bit more at ease so you didn't play your shot in the dark?
No, it was 100% a live Tribal, in my opinion. I like truly believe that like it could have been anyone.
Other than having trouble with the puzzle, was there anything else that you perceived that was making you to be a target for this group?
Yeah, I think, like, in general, I feel like people could tell that I was smarter than I was letting on. And, yeah, I really don't know why I was a target, like, to be honest, because I was very strong in the challenge. Like, yes, the puzzle didn't go the way we wanted, but, like, I mean, it really did come down to like that piece being in the bag, which I'm pretty certain I didn't leave it in the bag because I wasn't the one emptying the bag. So, yeah, I like don't really know why I was targeted. It really didn't make sense to me. I said that multiple times. I was like, there's no strategy involved in getting rid of me, especially because I'm such a good athlete as well. So, yeah, it was definitely disappointing.
Sarah, who were you the tightest with in this tribe?
Oh, you know, it's really interesting because I felt like strategically me and Ricard were on the same wavelength in terms of kind of how we wanted to play, like both what we were thinking. I mean, because he did like really want to get rid of JD that night, and like him and I aligned very well on that. In terms of personally, I felt like Jeannie was the only one being honest with me in terms of like a genuine connection. Like I went in like not planning on telling anyone about like my grandma passing away, because like I didn't want people to think like, oh, she has a sob story, blah blah blah. But like Jeannie had this way of just like connecting with me and making me feel really comforted. So yeah, it was a little bit different because it was like I had, you know, people strategically I wanted to work with, but people who like as people I was like, I really like this person.
We saw in the episode that you and Ricard were talking about how JD was somebody that you wanted to target. What was JD doing that made you have such a not so great feeling about him?
You know, I personally don't like when people come in with strategies where it's like, we need to see all girls, we need to see all young people. Like, I think that doesn't really set yourself up because it's very exclusive, and I think it should be really person to person. But I understand it's like a way to like get people to kind of be all on board if you fall into one of those groups. It was also like, he is a huge super fan and he talked about Survivor all the time. Like I remember someone was like whacking bamboo and like, I don't do well with loud noises. So I like jumped a bit and he was like, oh my gosh, like it's the new like David Wright and like so many Survivor references. And it made it very clear that like he was there to play. And also when he came back from the tribe, like, I didn't fucking believe him that he came back with nothing. Like, I literally did not believe him for a second that he came back empty-handed. And that just, like, made me really uneasy.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about was I know you were already suspicious about JD beforehand. And then you all had this idea of, okay, we're going to draw a rock. What were you thinking when JD was the person who pulled that rock?
Oh, my God. I was like, fuck. He's the worst person to go. Like, it's Brad or Jeannie came back, I was like, you know, if there's something for the tribe, like they'll 100% get it for the tribe. But JD is so strategic. It was like, yeah, it was definitely a moment where I was like, God damn it. Like, I also really wanted to go. Like, I wanted to meet people from other tribes and stuff. But yeah, I think also like he's a good storyteller. So like, I do think some people did like eat up that story and believe them. But yeah, no, I was definitely worried. I was sweating.
What was missing from the story, from your perspective, that made you not believe him?
Gosh. I think it was just, like, the story was so elaborate. Like, I believed what he was saying was, like, correct. But, like, that was the thing. I was like, I think I said this, too. I was like, I believe him, like, up until the point, but I don't believe he just opted to protect his vote. Like, I think he was too smart, like, as someone who came in like very clearly like going to play, and then like also like someone who very much like, you know, did feel like they were kind of on the outs for going on like the track in the first place, like I just didn't believe that he was going to protect his vote as opposed to like risk it in that moment.
Sarah, did you feel betrayed by Shan, who ultimately I'm assuming was the person who then told JD to vote for you at that tribal council?
Yeah, I mean, I did feel a little bit betrayed just because, like, day one, like, her, me, and Ricard were, like, you know, we're like, oh, we're a tight three. But honestly, like, I saw it coming, and, like, I knew, like, I felt like she was, like, the root of the targeting me, and, like, yeah, I felt betrayed, but honestly, like, betrayal such as, like, you're playing fucking Survivor. Like, this is what we signed up for. So it's, like, if you feel betrayed by someone, it's, like, you know, this is, like, this is what we came to do. Like, I would have done the same thing. I would have written down anyone's name that night, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. It was, I thought, a real classic Survivor moment when Brad comes into this conversation that you all are having about who is going to get voted out. And Brad says that really the two names that he's looking at are you and Shan, to the both of you. You called this a year 2000 strategy.
Yeah, I definitely did say that.
Yeah. What was that like to have heard that from Brad?
Honestly, it's kind of funny because, like, when they showed the moment, like, I didn't seem really reactive to it. I was kind of like, what the fuck? Like, okay. You know, my stomach, like, my heart did sink a little bit. I was like, but I also, like, had a feeling at that point that I was already on the block. Like, I kind of knew. So I wasn't shocked. honestly, the fact that he said it to me, standing there and Shan being there and also saying her name, I was like, if I have a chance, like, I just need to take this and run with it. And, like, that's why I eventually put Brad's name out there and kind of planned, like, I said that to Shan. I was like, maybe we should go for Brad if he's targeting us. And, like, that, like, I felt like was, like, you know, I said this to Brad when we got on the challenge. I'm like, I don't think there's any way, like, you're at risk. Like, you do too much at camp. Like, I really don't think you need to worry. But then when he did that, I'm like, this is ammunition. I didn't have ammunition on anyone else, but that gave me ammunition to someone. And it was like, I'm like, okay, this sucks that he said it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to use this as best as I can.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the vibe at camp overall? Was there a lot of scheming going on, or was it mostly a pretty positive group?
Honestly, it was a positive group. Like, I will say that. Like, we had a really good vibe going. But, like, I was so annoyed at tribal. And, like, I literally rolled my eyes because it was like, they're all like, oh, it's kumbaya, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Like, we're all paranoid. We're all scheming. Like, people are doing, like, shady shit behind people's backs. Like, people are looking for idols. Like, you know, I think it was a little bit of a mirage. And, like, we did all genuinely get along, which was really nice. But it was, like, if you ever think that people are sitting around camp, like, not strategizing, then, like, you're just oblivious.
What did it mean for your family to have the story of your grandmother and her passing be such a big part of the first episode?
You know, I, like, honestly, it came on and I literally broke down in tears because, like, not only was it was, like, in the episode, it was, like, the first thing that came up, like, after the marooning challenge. And I was like, holy shit, like, they really jumped right into this. I think, you know, it's still hard for us to talk about. She passed away, like, at the beginning of COVID because my from England, and they were, like, a little bit further ahead than us in terms of, like, the cases spreading. And, like, honestly, like, we still haven't had a proper funeral. I'm flying to England in a month, actually, because we're finally doing it. So it is, like, a little bit of a relief for us to, like, you know, I knew I talked about it on camera. I knew that, like, we would talk about it, and I was worried it was going to be really upsetting for my family to watch. But, like, now, like, I mean, everyone's just really proud of me, and all my friends are like, your grandma would be so proud of you. So, yeah, that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Sarah, do you know, did your grandma have a favorite Survivor player?
Yeah, she loved Saree. I think just because, like, Saree is such a good presence and does seem like a nice, like, person. My grandma didn't like people who, like, lie and scheme, so Saree was definitely her favorite. Even though Saree schemes, she does it in a way that still makes her seem like a really, like, likable and nice person.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to let the listeners know about your experience on the show?
I mean, like, you know, I still, like, I went down fighting. I still got a lot of fight left in me. I'm very proud of how I played. And, like, I really feel like, you know, that tribal, like, maybe it looks like I let other people influence my decision to, like, not play my shot in the dark. But it's just, like, I went in my headspace and I was, like, I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly what I'm going to say to these people. And, like, you know, it really came down to me. And I feel like it's got so good because I don't really have any regrets. Like, you know, I played really hard. I'm proud of how I did it. Like, obviously, I would have done things differently, but I don't look back at it. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have let that person convince me of this thing. Like, you know, I was kind of, I felt very aware of what was going on. And, like, I had a really good read on things. And I'm proud of myself for that.
Yeah, Sarah, a lot of people are very sad today because I know a lot of people that had you as their winner pick in Survivor drafts.
Oh, don't remind me. I know. But you know what? Like, it, that makes me feel really good that, like, people believed in me just from, like, what they read and, like, my pregame interviews and everything. Because it's like, I believed in myself. Like, I do think I could win. And, like, you know, literally, like, I mean, if they ever let me back in the game, like, I would be relentless. Like, I would totally, like, be a force to be reckoned with because it's just, like, you know, you learn things your first time around. And, like, yeah,
sure.
It's fun. It's fun to go in and play and fight and just leave everything on the table.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us. And all the best to you and your family and everything outside of Survivor.
Thank you. It's so nice talking to you.
Oh, very nice talking to you, too. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Sarah Wilson, a live one on the exit interview. So she was shot out of a cannon, raring to go. Hope you enjoyed that one. Very fun to talk with both of our first two boots from the season, Abraham and Sarah. We are just getting warmed up that I am going to be speaking with Karishma Patel coming up here in just a couple of hours because we got to get this Survivor interview in before we get back to a live Big Brother episode coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Last night, Taryn Armstrong was live after the Know-It-Alls. I'll be back with the panel for Big Brother tonight and then again on Friday night. This is very rare where we have a Big Brother season going on simultaneously with the Survivor season, that typically you get the Survivor premiere and the Big Brother finale all in the same night. This year we have a 1 week overlap, so it's a little surreal to have both shows going on at the same time. So we are going to be bringing you all of our Survivor coverage and then also the final week of a Big Brother coverage all here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, be on the lookout for the feedback show. Get your questions in with Chappelle and hope you can join us on a Monday night for the patron Q&A. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron is where you'll go to end up getting access to that. We're going to be dropping some of our podcasts this season a few days earlier for the patrons. Of course, you get access to our patron community and everything we have going on there with our Facebook groups, our Discord, and everything else where it's the best place to talk about Survivor in our community with people from all around the world that love these shows as much as you do. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron plus. Be sure to be subscribed to our Rehap Ups feed, our Survivor podcast feed, for everything else that we have coming up this week. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm so happy that you're on board here for all of our Survivor coverage here in a very exciting new season of the show. Thank you again so much for listening. Talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.